You're listening to Fakeologist Radio Conference Call, another Fakeologist service to connect like-minded skeptics who want to share their ideas with like-minded individuals. Unlike audio chat, all you need is a telephone, whether it be a hard line or a soft line like Skype. Go to fakeologist.com/cc and learn how to participate or start a call. And hear it later on fakeologist.com. To comment on this call, find the post at audiochat.fakeologist.com and scroll through the archives. Now, on with the call.
Hello, everyone. It's the afternoon commute with Fakeologist and John Adams on Friday, June 12, 2015. It's the fourth such commuter call this week. John likes to talk. I like to talk. We have similar interests. So while Chris is away, I thought I'd step up and keep John busy in the talking department. John, how are you today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Great. Great. Just had a Texas deluge of rain up here. I say that because I listen to the No Agenda show, as I think you do, and they've been apparently getting lots of rain, and we didn't get any in May, but now we're getting it here on the North Shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Canada, the PSYOP media and financial capital of Canada. We're all Americans. We are not just the 51st state. We're, I think, maybe the fourth biggest city in North America. Could be wrong. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. I think we might be next in terms of population. There's, I believe, 9 million or 6 million people wrapped around Lake Ontario to the north of New York State. There are a lot of people here. And coming in full and fast. Oh, yes. The higher north you go, the colder it gets. But, yeah, we have a lot of land, a ton of land. Anytime I hear about the population being overpopulated on the planet, you only have to drive half an hour north of Toronto, and there's just you and the moose and the deer and everything else. It's endless.
Yeah, that's what, when you drive across the U.S., which I've done more than a couple of times, you see how unpopulated the entire country is. When you drive 2 hours east outside of, L.A., it's unpopulated.
Yeah, well, the cities are busy, they're populated, and that's where they want to concentrate people. It's obvious for obvious reasons. It's just efficient delivery of services, goods, and warehousing the drones that do the busy work that keep this economy going.
Yes, sir.
It's been a busy week at fakeologist.com. Kay Ham did a great show. I just finished listening to it, a 4-hour blockbuster from last week that just got posted on 9/11. Allegedly, David Weiss was a witness to the towers. Of course, he was far away and using binoculars from Connecticut, a beach. I didn't know Connecticut had beaches, but it was an interesting interview. And Hoy Polloi, who is the author of the Vixen Report, which I think is the most important component of the 9/11 deception revealed. And he was on challenging David Weiss, who was taking all the questions, and he had all the answers ready. But he wasn't convincing me, and I don't think he was convincing Hoy Polloi nor Kay Ham. It was a pretty interesting discussion about what may or may not have happened on 9/11. I don't know if you were able to hear that.
I haven't got finished listening to it. Because I always jump back and forth between stuff that I'm listening to. I actually finished the other K-Ham radio before I finished that one.
Sometimes you look at 4 hours and it looks daunting, and then people don't even start because they know they're not going to finish. Maybe.
Yeah, I'll finish it eventually, but that's kind of what I do. I channel surf with my podcasts.
Good, you audio surf.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
I finished the one where she was talking about No Agenda.
Yeah, I am a No Agenda listener, probably mainly because it's consistent. It's consistently out there, and I know the characters. I know what pretty much they're going to talk about. And I do like listening to the media that I don't normally listen to filtered through them. So I would not listen to Fox News or PBS or NPR. I would never listen to them, but I don't mind hearing about what they are talking about via No Agenda with their bias filter. But
yeah,
other than that,
I was just going to interject. I'd say I enjoy clip shows. Like, I like Max Rat, too.
Yeah.
I love the clip shows.
Me too.
But you know, their ultimate conclusions are, you know, leave you wanting, of course.
Yeah, the last No Agenda show that I'm not finished with, oh, I did finish it. They were talking, they keep harping on nuclear power. And they can't quite understand why we all don't have the household nukes. Now, this was a story on CBS 60 Minutes a few years ago where allegedly the technology exists where you can have your own nuclear or some kind of generator in your house with endless clean power. It's essentially a fantasy. It's not a wood-burning stove or a wood pellet stove or coal. It's just some kind of magical rock that radiates, and they think that that's the solution. They can't understand. I guess they've never heard of the concept that the whole thing could be a hoax. And I think people like SMJ, who does a lot of posts on cluesform.info, has revealed the genesis of the nuclear science industry via, I believe, Chicago and Berkeley. And I think you've written or talked about some of these characters that created the pseudoscience that is nuclear. So these two No Agenda guys are just totally unaware of the possibility that the reason we don't have this mystical, magical, clean fantasy power is because it's a hoax. They never even talk about it. They just can't rationalize why we have not gone to nuclear power, even personal nuclear power, and they have all kinds of questions as to why not. But they never, why wouldn't anyone, like even yourself, you've looked into it and I think you've concluded that the cast of characters that develop this pseudoscience are pretty much a joke.
Well, what I think is, I think there is something, you know, I think there is some sort of power that can be generated, but it's overlaid with this, you know, it's overlaid with this fake, idea. You know, so whatever nuclear power, whatever's going on in a nuclear power plant, there is energy being generated out of there.
You're convinced of that?
Well, I'm convinced that something's going on. I know people that actually work in the San Onofre nuclear power plant down here in San Clemente, California. So there is stuff going on in there. I don't know exactly what it is.
Well, Toronto has their own nuclear power plant just east of the city, and I know I took a tour of, you can't take a tour of the plant anymore after 9/11, but they have an info center which within the info center it has a simulated control room with 1960s type computers and technology, and it literally looks like a scene out of an old movie. And they've even explained, when I took the tour 2 years ago, they haven't even upgraded any of their computers because they say they're afraid that it could cause a problem, and why upgrade 70s computers when they work so well? Which is one of the more laughable excuses I've ever heard. they have really old CRT monitors in the control room, and nothing's really been upgraded since.
That's amazing.
Plant was built in the 70s. And some of the characters that worked there, or that were at least in the demo center, they reminded me of characters from the Simpsons. They almost look like cartoon characters, some of these guys with pocket protectors and wide ties. It was really bizarre. It was a bizarre world look. So, yeah, I don't disagree. There's thousands of people that work at the plant or near Toronto, but I don't know what they're doing. And it's still possible that the magic room with the magic dust in it or the magic rocks, only a couple people would be in on the hoax. Everyone else is just busy being busy, doing busy work. They're not producing anything.
It's quite possible. The person I know who worked at this place, which is pretty funny because he has long hair and he's like a metalhead guy, but he's an electrical engineer, so he's not doing anything with nuclear anything. And then I know that, you know, the word nuclear gets kind of thrown around a lot when it has to do with like lasers and things like that too, you know?
Oh, it does?
Yeah, I can't remember. Like people who work with, you know, people who don't even work in the field of, you know, what you'd say, anything having to do with like nuclear power. Like, let's say you're a nuclear physicist major or something in college, but then you end up working with lasers, which is something totally different. And I know that there's people who work at the parent company of my job who majored in nuclear physics, but I mean, there's nothing nuclear going on at my job, and they just work with lasers. So,
I wanted to bring up a comment since you brought up that about nuclear physics, because on the No Agenda show, the last No Agenda show, which I believe is 723. They made the comment that Stanford University, which I think is in on the hustle, as SMJ calls it,
they're no longer
hiring physics professors anymore.
Yeah, I heard
they're
that.
Now it's waste management. So this to me is an indicator that the hoax is going to be closed, shut down worldwide. The hoax is, they're done with it. They're going to shut it down worldwide. Very slowly, very expensively, as they're going to extract as much money out of it as they can, or steal as much, but it's over. The gig's up.
That's because, Tim, they're closing down all our nuke plants here, and they're building them all over in China.
Well, I don't think they've started anything in China yet. And, yeah, maybe they will, Alex, revitalize the hoax in China. I don't know. It's hard to say, because I think China needs real power right now. And I don't know if the Yangtze River Dam power generation has started yet, but I know they're building coal. I understand they're building coal. I don't know, but you hear they're building coal. And we hear that Germany is restarting their coal energy generation. That's coming back in a big way since the hoax is up for them.
Now didn't Canada shut down all of its coal power stuff?
Ontario, the largest province where I reside, yes, we just shut down our last coal plant. And by the way, coal generation is the most efficient way to pound for pound generate explosive heat, which creates steam, which turns turbines, which generate electricity. It is the most efficient way. And the Great Lakes region has tons of coal within 500 miles of most of the generating stations. So, we closed down our plants, yeah.
It's actually once, you know, I'd say, you know, speaking civilization-wise, coal-burning power plants are probably some of the cleanest, too, because they've got a ton of regulations on them.
Yes, the new coal. They had a big propaganda campaign about the new coal and how they could scrub the exhaust, regenerate, recirculate the exhaust, similar to the regulations on cars. Until the air that came out is cleaner than the air that went in. Yeah, I believe it. I think coal will come back. I think it's just they'll just wait till the memory of acid rain, which I'm sure was a hoax as well, clears out of the psyche, the mind of a whole generation. I don't think this young generation, the millennials, those people 30 and under, have any idea about acid rain. That's an old one. But coal will come back. It will come back as clean coal. It will come back because it is real. It is real power.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that. We're in Ontario. I think we got a pretty unique power situation. We got one of the largest power authorities in North America, and to me, because we have such a large monopoly here, it's ripe for corruption, and I think that's what made us ideal for getting in on the nuclear hoax. We have two big nuke plants where we live in Ontario, and I don't think, of course, they do anything. No, sorry, three of them. We have three, which I think is a lot for any jurisdiction. And we allegedly get 65, 6 plus 5 is 11, percent of our power from nuclear at any given time. That's what they say. But we're big in on the hustle in Ontario.
It's a sketchy one, and Sean's done some really good research on that. I wish I could get him to harness it into an article or something, or like a talk.
Who's
like,
done that?
No, I was saying Sean. SMJ.
SMJ. Yeah.
Yeah. If I could maybe like give him an hour just to go off on all the names and everything, because he remembers all that stuff really good. He knows all.
I agree. I'd like, if Sean's listening, please do an audio so we can just listen to your research as opposed to read it. It'd be great to hear. Because just the characters. He always drags up the characters, and they're just so shady, shaky, and poorly developed characters.
Yeah, it's funny too. The one thing I found on accident was because I looked more into. I wasn't even looking into nuclear type stuff. I just kept seeing the same guys pop up who were all involved with population control and eugenics.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, these guys are all nuclear physicists?
What's the tie-in? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bizarre tie-in, especially the one perpetrator is the best one is, I think, the most famous as far as anybody who looks into nuke hoaxery, nuke fakery, would be Leo Szilard.
Yes, that name, yeah.
And I found his name just because I found this pretty not widely known book. It's called The Politics of Contraception, and it's written by this guy named Carl Gerassi. He was the guy who invented the pill out of Stanford University. And he cites Leo Szilard in his book. And, he gives this crazy maniacal speech talking about putting drugs in the food and the water to make people sterile. And so he gives a whole background, and I was reading that, of who Leo Szilard was and all. He was one of the guys who started, he was the guy to conceive the first atomic chain reaction, allegedly. And then he switched. He like did a face turn like they do in wrestling. He did a face turn, and then all of a sudden he's against nuclear power, and he goes on this campaign to stop nuclear power. And then for no apparent reason, he just decides to get into population control and like microbiology and those type of things, and devote his time to keeping people from having more children to overpopulate the earth. So I was like, what?
So is he, what is he, some kind of confusion agent? Is this a tactic of deception where you just send out contradictory signals all the time just to confuse the hell out of people?
I think these guys just like take whatever job they can get. That's why it's funny, like you read that, like when we interviewed that guy about the Rand Corporation, and that's what you find out, like the Rand Corporation kind of is. It's like you got these people who, work at these think tanks, and they just—it's just like a place to get a job when you don't have a job.
They shape the ideas of the CIA, right? The intelligence agencies that lead society, create culture.
Yeah, I think there's an agenda, and they shoot them out to these think tanks. These people think about how to implement it into society, but at the same time, these places are kind of like, it's like, oh, Donald Rumsfeld doesn't have a job. Well, give him a job over here at the Rand Corporation for a little bit, and then, maybe later on he can work at, he can be something else in government, and then afterwards he'll be the head of Monsanto or something. So
yeah,
all these,
he was the head of whoever did
he was the head of Searle.
Were they the ones that created aspartame?
Yeah, later Monsanto bought Searle out. Donald Rumsfeld, head of Searle.
Yeah, Donald Rumsfeld's one of my favorite confusionists. I guess that's a good word for him. I love the way he plays with words and creates confusion and deception. He's fantastic at it. There's a movie, a documentary on him, Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah, I never saw that. Was that Errol Morris who did that one too?
That name sounds familiar. Whoever Errol Morris is, that rings a bell. Yeah, the movie is called Unknown or something, Unknown Knowns, which is his most famous set of lines. There are known knowns, there are unknown knowns, and unknown unknowns. He's just a master in deception. He's fantastic. I always look forward to him public speaking because I knew he would just talk over people and confuse the hell out of them and be proud of it.
Yeah, there was another, Errol Morris did a film called The Fog of War, and it was about Robert McNamara, who is kind of like, he actually kind of looks like Donald Rumsfeld. I'm not saying that they're both the same person, but.
Okay, no.
Did I watch that,
The Fog of War? Is that a doco or a movie?
Yeah, it's a documentary. Uh-oh. You should watch that one. It's about,
Fog of War. I'll write it down. Fog of War, everybody.
Yeah, it's with, there's interviews with Robert McNamara in there, and they go over his whole history, how he was the head of Ford Motor Company at one time, and then he became the Secretary of Defense, and he was involved with all the firebombings in Japan with General Curtis LeMay, and they made all of the decisions to burn down the entire nation of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And
some of the cities they called nuclear attacks, but there's little doubt in my mind they were just firebombing.
Yeah, that's something I definitely. That's something when it comes to nuclear bombs, then I'm definitely completely and totally skeptical of nuclear bombs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Delivery vehicles, ICBMs, fantastic delivery vehicles.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is. I brought this up on a call with Chris a long time ago. I was flipping through a book. I was at my wife's friend's house, and she had this book from the 1960s. It was called The Australians, and it was just a book about Australia, and it was like a picture book from the 60s. And I was flipping through it, and I was just reading some of the stuff, and there was a quote from a nuclear physicist in there, and he was talking about how... He was saying, you know, we never really understood how nuclear power worked until we got to go over and see the destruction in Hiroshima. And he gave the date of, you know, he went over there in 1944 whenever the bomb was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like saying that he went there like 2 months later, right?
Yeah, so much for all that that radiation.
Yeah, that's what I was confused. I'm all reading it. I'm going, wait a minute. He's saying he's there like 2 months after they dropped the bomb. I'm all, wouldn't he be like fried?
Or glowing? Come back with a healthy tan? A glow? Hey, there's a healthy glow on you.
Yeah, and then Chris even posted something on Hoaxbusters one time about the guy with the sign that said, here's where the bomb went, hit right there.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that picture?
Probably.
Yeah, so it's a Japanese guy, and he's got like a tourist attraction type thing with a wooden sign cut in the shape of an arrow pointing down to the ground that says, here's where the bomb hit. It's like, well, why isn't that guy dead, and how are you able to even be around the area at all? You know?
Yeah, well,
so
I'm convinced nuclear bombs are a hoax. The reason I say that is because I think I didn't really understand the concept of big hoaxes that are so big that they would be logically impossible to pull off with so many people. But I always go back to 9/11. I'm still convinced 3 years later after my research that that was definitely a hoax. And because I realize the whole world believes it happened somewhat, one of the alternative stories to it, and they believe that, then I'm just convinced that big hoaxes are not nearly as difficult to pull off on the world population as one may have imagined. And that's why I'm very happy with the possibility that nuclear and all things, the science is all junk, and the whole thing is one big massive scam. And you won't find too many people that think that way. I know someone who worked for our hydro authority. He's an engineer. He gets a pension and whatnot. He worked in the plant or around them and he says I'm full of it. I really can't argue with him with much other than what I just told you. But
he draws
attention.
Yeah, it's been really interesting and surprising to hear John Dvorak say that he thinks that climate change propaganda is mind control. I thought that was real, or is a mind control experiment. And I thought about it. That is an accurate description of what mind control is, as opposed to, the idea that there's MKUltra assassins that are under programming from a secret base somewhere. Mind control is just drumming something into the public or into an individual so much that they start to believe it, and the reality gets shaped around the lie.
Yeah.
And see like the words I just used right there, right? The reality gets shaped around the lie. Those are all kind of mind control type words that we don't even realize, because the words I just said kind of created a picture,
mm-hmm.
right? And so those type of words are always used when they're talking to us about particular, lies that we're being sold on, right? It was funny. One of those clips, they were playing that clip. I'll give the perfect example. They were playing a clip on No Agenda talking about the WTC-4 building that they're rebuilding that's in the shape of a staircase.
It's funny you just mentioned that. I was trying to look it up, and he's got the number wrong. WTC-4 has already been rebuilt, so he was wrong. I think it's WTC-2 they're about to rebuild. Yeah, I couldn't find. I just typed in WTC staircase, and I got the staircase of lost people, but... Yeah, I looked at the building. It's quite interesting. I was going to discuss that with you because I was trying to figure out what is the symbolism behind that. It looks like a staircase up to the big building they've just finished, World Trade Center 1.
Yeah, when I was listening to that clip, the newscaster probably unknowingly, just reading off of something that was given to him, he says, rising out of the ashes, okay?
Yeah.
Is the new WTC-2 building or whatever. So, rising out of the ashes is implying, it's talking about the phoenix.
Yeah.
All right, so anytime you hear rising out of the ashes, that's very occultic, that's very...
biblical?
With alchemical type stuff. That was one of the prime things.
Doesn't it also imply that the WTC was some kind of holocaust, some kind of burning ceremony? Isn't that ashes imply burning?
Yeah, that is interesting because, there wasn't any burning. I mean, that would imply that the buildings turned to ash, right?
Well, there was a steaming rubble pile that steamed allegedly for months and months and months, and alchemical-like things were happening. Firemen's boots were melting, but they weren't hot. All kinds of occultish BS. Remember that?
Yeah. That's because they used the thermite, and when they were when they used the thermite, the thermite was burning so hot that it stayed burning for days on end and weeks on end, and they even got Google images from space and were able to see the thermite burning under the rubble pile.
Very good. Your Alex Jones is better than the two links. I think you gave me a couple links to Alex Jones impersonators, and I think yours is better than theirs.
Yeah. His Webster Tarpley is spot on, but yeah, I think my Alex Jones is better than his.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard Webster in a while, and I actually didn't hear that impersonation, so I haven't listened to any of that cast of characters since I got away from Alex Jones 3 years ago. Although, some of the clips that they replay on the No Agenda show, he's
funny.
Still in fine form screaming, well, I don't know how he can do it. It's so much effort to screech like that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of energy. Must be all the iodine.
Yeah, or maybe he's coked up. He's got unnatural amounts of energy. Let's put it that way. When you get to a certain age, midlife, like I'm at, and I suppose he is, you don't have that kind of energy. John, just give me 2 minutes here, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, I'm back. So what did you think of that? What do you think of World Trade Center 2 design with the staircase-like design that looks like it's leading up towards the pinnacle, which is World Trade Center 1 that's just opened, the alleged Freedom Tower with the big spire on top of it? Is there anything significant? Is there anything biblical about that? The staircase up to, is there anything male, female, or what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of, well, let's see. Let me bring up an image of it again. I got to look at it again. I just remember, like, it's distressed. It's got this distressed look to it.
Well, it looks like it's going to fall over.
Yeah.
I always think of the window washers, by the way, in all these buildings. How are they going to wash the window? When you don't have a nice, flat, plain, boy, the window washing bill just goes through the roof with all the contraptions you need to make your way on these irregular faces.
Yeah, you know what's funny is
I'm very practical that way.
you remember? You're probably, I'm guessing, I don't know how old you are, so I'm guessing you're probably
48.
Okay, so yeah, you're 10 years older than you're 10 years older than me, and so do you remember when they used to tell you that? When they would clean the Statue of Liberty, that it would take, that by the time they got done cleaning it, they had to wash it again?
No, I never heard that.
Okay, that's one thing. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's allegedly what they do with what they say about tall buildings.
Window
as
washing.
Well. Yeah, window
washing.
Yeah,
I believe that.
By the time you get done washing the Sears Tower, you have to start washing it all over again. So.
I believe that, yeah. So are you looking at the picture of it, or we're gonna?
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come up here.
Oh, okay. So I want to tie this conversation back to something else I was talking about. We're talking about power. I was talking about the monopoly that our power authority in Ontario has over the power generation and distribution. And we're having a real problem now because our electricity rates in Ontario are becoming the highest in North America right now. And part of the components of our electricity rates, they break out all the charges now so as to make people feel better for the huge total. Before they just gave a total, now they break it up so we know all the elements of the scam. I don't know if that's supposed to make people feel better, but I guess that marketing said so. But one of the elements in our bills is called a debt retirement charge. Allegedly, they ran up so much debt that it was hobbling the corporation. So now we have a separate charge just to pay it off. But, of course, all these years later, not $1 has been paid off for other reasons of corruption, they say. And that brought me to the question, I'm going to make a post on it, since I'm always considering what's real and what's fake. I'm just wondering if the concept of government going into debt, which is really, I would say, a 40-year-old concept now, I'm wondering, is the whole idea of going into debt fake in the sense that there's no reason why we have to go into debt? We could all just cough up and get rid of the debt and the deficit. But they always use the excuse, well, nobody wants taxes to go up and it's so easy and interest rates are so low. It just occurred to me that maybe all the debt is just another form of removing wealth from the people that are natural wealth, the people
that's
are entitled
it.
To.
Did you ever hear me say that on a call before?
Well, maybe I absorb your knowledge just subconsciously over time because I listen to you.
Yeah, that's what it is. There is no real debt. The real debt is you got to figure out how to get all of the the real wealth that people have saved or have inherited from other people or that type of stuff out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And as time goes on, you're actually seeing that dry up. And I'll tell you why. Because there's, you know, in previous time periods when, you know, Canada and the U.S. Had people that saved money.
Yeah.
And passed it on down to their children.
Right.
Yeah, those times are few and far between now. Those people are few and far between. One, because, you know, the public's been sold on the idea that you're not supposed to save, that you're supposed to, you know, go out and spend
use
all your
credit.
Money, use credit, that type of stuff. But also because prices have gone sky high on everything, and they're really getting it down to a point to where people, you know, have to live paycheck to paycheck. They're not going to be able to pass anything on anyways. And if they do, it's getting smaller and smaller every year, and it is destroying the debt. Because, you see, once that money gets passed back into the system, that money gets obliterated. It's gone. It's no longer passed on anywhere, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So once it makes it back up to the top, wherever that is, the wealth is destroyed. The wealth's not redistributed into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's even less money for us to play with, I guess you could say. Because here's another way to look at it too. You know, when they come up with this idea that you know how an overnight loan works for a bank.
I think I've heard about it before, but explain it.
Okay, well, like a bank, banks, you know, pass money amongst each other. So let's say the Federal Reserve gives, you know, whatever bank an overnight loan and with a certain amount of interest on it, and then they're able to take that money and invest it in and make money off of it, and then pay it back the next day with the money that they've made off of it, right?
Okay.
With the money that they made off the investment, they're able to pay back the loan. And it's just, you know, a shell game, number switching type stuff. But see, the money that those banks get, and then it's, you know, hypothetically speaking, understood in what you would call reality, which is us, that money has been used by the bank. They've been able to invest with it.
Yeah.
And then by the time we get it, it's been devalued, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm speaking on technical terms here. It doesn't always have to work like this, but technically that would mean that it's inflationary money because more money has been put into the system, which makes the money worth less.
Worth less, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so that's the same type of thing. Instead of once you paid taxes or paid fines and fees and all sorts of stuff, like if you get an inheritance or something, and let's say like in Canada, and it's soon to be this way in the U.S. If you got an inheritance, would they do something about like say the health care, like make you purchase more health care the more money you have?
No, we don't pay for health care in Canada. It's all covered. There are some levies, I think. When you make more money, you might have to pay a little more.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Right, that's what I was talking about. Like here, if you got, I think with the new health care type stuff, if you were to have more money, then they would make you purchase more health care.
Okay.
Something like that, or, you know, some
you would get you would just get a special levy that makes you pay more into the system.
Yeah,
it's just another form of, it's just another tax. You can call it whatever you want, a fine, a levy, a tax, a premium. There's a million words for it. It's just a money grab if you make more.
Yeah, I was looking at the staircase.
Okay, the World Trade Center 2 proposed building.
I couldn't see, just in the staircase itself, I couldn't see anything significant except for the fact that allegedly this is the staircase where the survivors came down or something.
No, but, that's a separate staircase.
Oh,
they have a memorial staircase. The actual building, which is designed to look like a staircase, is separate from the survivor staircase.
Oh, okay, okay. I'll have to look it up later. But
yeah, it's a big glass, big glassy structure that has at least six cubes that are stacked on an angle. That's what it is.
Okay, well, you have to understand, in Freemasonry, the staircase is very symbolic. It's very important in the Freemasonic ritual and the symbolism. What do you call it? Have you ever heard of Jacob's Ladder?
Yes.
Okay, so Jacob's Ladder and what would be called the Seven Steps to Heaven.
Okay.
Okay, so that's all incorporated into the, entered apprentice's path up the first seven degrees, when Jacob, had the vision of the ladder into heaven, and that's all kind of part of it. But you could look at a lot of, Freemasonic, paintings and drawings, and there's always a staircase with an arch involved in it.
Okay.
Or a winding staircase, right?
So are we implying that the Masons are an integral part of the power structure all around us at all times?
I am implying that because you see the symbolism everywhere, and you especially see it in the Twin Towers. Just saying the word Twin Towers or Twin Peaks would imply
Do you notice around you and where you travel, there are so many twin buildings? It's incredible. They almost always build. Now, you could say, well, it makes sense to build two because the first one is breaks it out, and it's just easier to copy it and make it look nice. And I guess the duality of the human body just physically is a good model for building stuff. It all makes sense, really.
Yeah, actually, there's something, there's an interesting Twin Towers in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they were actually modeled on the World Trade Center. And it's they were built in a city with a kind of a funny name pertaining to the actual event of 9/11. They're built in Century City.
Oh, okay.
And Century City
is,
no, they were built quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're modeled after the Twin Towers. They're not as tall, but they are quite big. And that city is literally just, a square mile or something, and it literally consists of banks and commercial enterprise. The biggest corporations have their have a lot of their offices right there in Century City.
Mm-hmm. Is that like the square mile in the City of London?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, even the ABC offices are there as well. So.
Yeah, they just copy the... They copy all these ideas and put them around the world, the square mile, that. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say that the staircase is part of the, part of the ritual as well.
Mm-hmm. Right in front of, all hidden in plain sight. So the average person is just going to look at it and just consider it an architectural marvel. And not really investigate the history and the historical and symbolic nature of buildings in general, because it's just not taught it. Nobody talks about it. I've talked to lots of people, and they don't even know anything about the Masons when I bring it up. And it was new to me 3 years ago when I got looking into 9/11. I have to admit, I never really knew anything other than the word. And now, of course, I can't stop hearing and seeing it. The old confirmation bias. You hear about one thing, and then it just keeps coming up every time you look. Left, right, the numerology, all these things just keep punching you in the face.
Yeah, and the, the symbolism of the staircase has, I mean, there's a lot of different symbolism involved with it. Like, on a lower level, the first five stair steps, are the five senses. And,
okay.
And you know what I mean. And as you go up in degrees in Freemasonry, the meanings take on all sorts of different things, right? And it's the, you know, it can be the path to a Mason's maturity is another one, where the you know, the stairway, like the stairway to heaven, right?
Yeah.
So even we all know Jimmy Page was into the occult as well. So yeah, the stairway to heaven is the path to godhood as well. You could also look at it as kind of being a kind of Tower of Babel.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's with now that I'm looking at a picture of the building, it's kind of in that Tower of Babel type thing where it's a spiral staircase to heaven, which allegedly was being trying to be built at one time.
Well, it looks like it's leading up to the Big Brother, the One World Trade Center, the Freedom Tower, which seems to be, it's going to be, well, it will remain the biggest, I would think.
Yeah, and Chris did a good job after I sent him, I'd sent him some information quite a while ago about how allegedly, I think it's probably true that that somehow the Bin Laden Construction Company was involved with the building of the World Trade Center. Okay. And I thought that went along with the ritual, like the, you know, kind of the mocking of the whole thing is like, oh yeah, they would incorporate them into that as well, and then, you know, use the Bin Laden character in the, you know, in the end where they bring it down as kind of a mock type, you know, it's like mocking the people who don't understand it, right?
Well, I think they use these characters, these fake characters. I think Bin Laden is a simulated son of this large family, and I'm convinced now that one of the methods of deception is they'll use influential, powerful people that get rich off a lot of the psyops, and they will say you're going to have a child, a sim child, who's going to be involved in the hoax, and of course you're going to agree to it because you're going to benefit from the whole thing. And, of course, it's not going to be a real child, but you're going to talk about the child as if it was real. You'll benefit financially. And an example of that would, of course, be the Bin Laden family. Now, allegedly he's the 17th sibling, one of the youngest, I believe. I think 17 is the emergency number in France. If you have 17, it's pretty hard to keep track of who's who.
Well, you know what's funny is even if he is a real guy or was a real guy, right? Let's just say hypothetically he's real, right? If you look at the pictures of the Bin Laden family that you can find in some books, they all dress in Western attire. They're part of a huge corporation. Okay, what does that have to do with Islam? You see? So why would this guy be wearing the turban with the beard and the whole bit? So we know that whole aspect of it is fake as well, but it's just funny. I pointed that out to people before. You see these other pictures of the family, and they're not dressed like radical Muslims. They're dressed like Westerners. They're involved with Western culture, What I was going to say was Chris had gone a little bit further, and he had even found out that there was a Islamic element built into the Twin Towers themselves.
Okay.
That there was that when the guy designed it, he actually was designing the Twin Towers in the design of Mecca.
Well, yeah, that box thing. Well, I can't remember what it's called—the Kaaba or something—that square
the
box.
Kaaba.
The Kaaba. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a duplicate or a replica of the one in Mecca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the Masonic occult symbol as well, right?
Yeah, the cube, cube, Kaaba. The cube is the perfect shape because you've been shaped. Right, you've been shaped. You have a round head, and then you become a blockhead. Squared. It's way of square.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. How much time you got, John? Oh, he's out of time.
Bin Laden. Hello?
Hey, hi, Ben. How you been, Ben?
You know, I just want to tell you I'm actually pulling into my driveway right now, so I don't even.
Oh, very kind of you.
Yeah, but let me finish. What was I finishing? My thought was
Bin Laden.
Was it on
Kaaba. Kaaba.
Yeah, the cube, the perfect square.
Yeah.
The perfectly shaped initiate into Freemasonry. You become a blockhead. If you're a Freemason, that's where you get the terminology, someone who's been around the block a few times.
Okay, that's interesting. And you wear that square thing on your head when you graduate from school?
That's right.
Yeah.
Most people
have no idea where that's from, yeah.
Yeah, see, if you think about it, like, what has been around the block a few times even mean if you're thinking about the block, like the block that you live on? Doesn't even really make sense. But if you think about it in the context of Freemasonry, when every time you go up, you have to go through the Freemasonic ritual, you have to walk around the altar, which is a squared ashlar stone.
Yeah.
So you've been around the block a few times means you're a smart guy, allegedly. So yeah, but the new Freedom Tower is it's a hermaphroditic symbol because it's out of the two becomes one.
Right.
And so out of two you get one, you get the hermaphrodite. But it's also kind of built jokingly in a Islamic fashion as well. Like if you go there's actually a tower in Mecca. Have you ever seen that tower at Mecca?
No, well, I might have seen pictures, but no, I haven't been to Mecca.
Yeah, it's got this kind of twisted. It looks like imagine like the legs of the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
Which the Eiffel Tower itself is a hermaphroditic symbol too. It's just like the letter A is a hermaphroditic symbol. If you look at the letter A, it's two merging into one, right?
Okay.
At the top.
And hermaphroditic, for all those that are not boned up on their sciences, it means they have both sex organs, right? And an organism with both sex organs? Yeah,
it's just male and female combined. And so in the symbolic nature of it, it's the element of the male and the element of the female in one body.
Okay. So how convenient.
I'm sure that will be convenient one day. But
well, Bruce Jenner's working on it. Be able to have sex with themselves and reproduce. What could be more wonderful about that?
He is paving the way for the rest of us because we've become so acclimated to this type of thing. Eventually, nobody will have a problem when people start start being born with both sets of both sets of genitalia on a regular basis. You know, so.
Well, they'll be hatched, they won't be born and all that. Yeah, it's pretty airy-fairy science fiction. It's too much for me, but, you know, this programming is not for me. I'm already programmed I'm already downloaded with my program. It's for the next generation, John. For your children and their children's children. It's not for you. You've already got your program.
Yes. Yes.
And you cannot be reprogrammed. You're downloaded. You're fully downloaded.
I know. I am, my programming was to not get married and to remain an adult child for the entire life.
That's true.
Unfortunately, it almost worked, but thankfully it didn't. So.
Well, you fought up the river, you fought upstream, and yeah, you blessed it through. And it's not easy. The whole marriage business, because you're fighting so much anti-marriage propaganda, it makes you think you're crazy for sticking to it. It really does.
Yep, it's true.
We're fighting hard every day. We're just fighting a good fight, staying married, John.
I know. I believe it.
Yeah.
As long as you understand
it's work.
On that note, you have a nice weekend with your family, and I guess we'll talk next week.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I'm happy to fill in for Chris. I'm not half as smart as Chris in many ways, but I know a little about a lot, which is good enough. It's almost as good as knowing a lot about a little.
In some ways, it might even be better if that's what you believe about yourself.
Yeah. All right. Good chatting with you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.